service of worship here at Dedridge Baptist Church, and I can smile for the first time this morning because Ian is here.
Yeah,
hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, good to have you with us, Ian. Can I just share a few notices? First of all, a reminder that the members' church meeting is on Thursday, the 9th of December. I know it's on the screen, but it's going through another gate. So Thursday, the 9th of December at 7 p.m. in this building. Secondly, next week after the service in the morning, there will be a fellowship lunch in here around tables. So when you come next week, the room will look very different. There'll be tables, sit around and look toward the front during the first part of the service and then enjoy communion together before we have a very a kind of soup and sweet kind of lunch, fellowship lunch together. So do please come next week and enjoy that with us. This Thursday, the prayer and Bible study begins Love Your Church by Tony Merida. I know some of you are fed up looking at this book, but it's this Thursday at 7 o'clock that we begin the study of the church in the New Testament, led by the chap that wrote this book, who's excellent. So please, if you don't normally come along on Thursday evening and enjoy that with us. Also, next week, Hing will be preaching. If I've pronounced that properly, forgive me, Hing, if I haven't, is preaching next Sunday morning in this church. So do come along, please, for that. And if you're wondering, why are you bothering to pay me? Because it's Ian this morning and it's Hing next week. I'm practicing for early retirement. Okay, so that's what's happening. Right, let me begin and share a verse with you that we had cause to think about during last week's Bible study. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, some of us will be here this morning and we're probably a little unsettled by events in the week. There will be others among us, relentless activists. There will be some who are still, but to no advantage, meditating on themselves. And some will be still in the presence of the God of Jacob, our fortress, our stronghold, our rock. And we just wonder and rejoice at that. And so, Father God, thank you for drawing us in together this morning on this lovely sunny Sunday morning. Thank you that your Spirit is present with us. Receive our worship. We offer it to you in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Will you please stand with me now as we begin our sung worship?
People of the risen King, who to bring Him praise, come all and tune your hearts to sing. Shifting shadows of the earth, we will we're steady arms of mercy reached to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One voice, church of Christ, we can. His joyous morning sun, sweeping through To tell of battles won and struggling in the fight. For his perfect love will never change, and his mercies never cease. But fully was who art is, with the certain hope of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice. To shore and renew and come. The truth that cries to every age, my God is overcome. Rejoice, rejoice, let every time rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
Also, not yet.
Just in case any viewers are asleep.
Right. Shall I try that again?
Kieran, Kieran, we have another song. We have another song.
Oh, I was. Yeah, I beg your pardon.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here, let your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater, you alone are Savior. Come. are strong to stand when you're mighty there. King of heaven come. 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 King of heaven come down. King of heaven come down. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven come. King of heaven, rise up. Who can stand against us? You are strong to save in your mighty name. King of heaven, come. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory reign, shining like the day. King of heaven, come.
A little earlier than I thought. If there are any hearing aids that I've ruined, I will cover the cost of them, okay? Or any sound equipment as well, Matthew, do apologize for that. We come now to a video, People of the Feast. It's for the young people. So if you're younger this morning, then do concentrate on the screen. Then we'll have Frank come up to lead us in our reading.
Stories of the Bible, the parable of the great banquet. This is Jesus.
Heyo!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love and healed people from their sickness. He did many miracles like walking on water.
Oh, hey guys.
And even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
One day, Jesus went to eat at the house of a Pharisee. He said to the Pharisee who was hosting the meal, "When you give a dinner, do not invite your friends, your family, or your rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. But invite the poor and those who have trouble seeing and walking. Then God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you." When a man at the table heard what Jesus said,
"Ahem,"
he said to Jesus, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied with a story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations.
All ready!
When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready."
Got it.
But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said.
"What? No way."
His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, and those who have trouble seeing and walking. after the servant had done this, he reported, "There is still room for more."
Great, all right.
So his master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet."
Bible reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3. The heading is "Living as those who made alive in Christ." Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you may well appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of Christ. Here there is no Jew, no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have any grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in the perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases God. Father, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eyes is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ who you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, and there is no favoritism. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Amen. May God bless us. Word to him.
Come now to a time of prayer, and we come to our our Lord. In prayer, he hears us. He knows what's going on in our lives and in our hearts. He's a father, not a judge, for those that know him. And we just rejoice that he's only ever a prayer away. And I want to thank those that have met on Thursday evenings to support the growth and development of our fellowship in prayer. And we do remember things that are going on in one another's lives. And I shared that my son-in-law was being interviewed all last week on the island of Benbecula, which is one of the Western Isles that's practically, well, you know. And he got the job. Yes, you know, which means that my daughter and son-in-law will be moving to Benbecula at some point. I know. So that's wonderful. And we prayed for others as well, didn't we? Has anyone paused like myself to share answered prayer before I pray? We prayed for Kat's son Jack's dad, who was not in a good way, was he? He was in hospital, and now he's back home. God is good. Any other prayers answered? Well, I'm sure they are, but you don't want to put your hand up and say so, because God is a prayer-hearing and answering God. And so let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can share together the way in which you have not only heard but answered the prayers that we bring to you. We know you're not a slot machine. We know we can't just come with any old thing and expect every time to get that answer that we feel best suits us. We're always, Lord, resigned to your greater wisdom, your knowledge of the future, your understanding of how one thing leads to another, and that your kingdom grows and that you will be glorified. But we thank you when, as your children, we can see you, our Father, at work in our lives and in our fellowship life. And so we thank you for that. And our prayer this morning is, Lord, just to begin with one another and to bring to you those that maybe are with us this morning with a smile, but whose hearts are heavy, who have known what it is to struggle in the week that's been and are here but only just. Our prayer is, Lord, that your Spirit may just come among us in the most wonderful, transforming way, and even the saddest among us might know a spirit of gladness and joy in your presence as we seek together to worship you. And Heavenly Father, we want to thank you too for this profound promise that where we are gathered, you are in the midst, that this is no earthly meeting, that we are not here this morning because we are united and hold common beliefs, but because you're in our hearts and you're in our fellowship life together. And we rejoice in that and bless you for it and pray that we might become increasingly conscious of your near presence to each one of us. Heavenly Father, we know we're about to enter the Christmas season, and so we want to bring that to you in prayer. We will have our carol service that we do each year on the 19th of December, and our prayer is in anticipation of that carol service, that you will be here with us, that you will be here with us, Lord, when we come and gather for our Christmas Eve service and then the short Boxing Day service. We want to just hand all of this over to you and pray that you will use these occasions when we seek to worship you, to glorify you, and to proclaim abroad that our God is real. He is the God and fortress and rock of our lives. And so, Heavenly Father, we just remember to our nation. We think of our Queen, who of late has not been at all well, and we pray your blessing and strengthening and encouraging of her. We think, Lord, of our government, the Prime Minister of the UK, the First Minister of Scotland, and their respective governments. We pray, Lord, that your hand might be upon them for good, that you will influence them, Lord, in their thinking and decision-making, and that we might have those statutes upon our books that are in line with your word and your will. And Heavenly Father, we think of our wider world. We hear of Afghanistan and the anticipated drought and famine and just the difficulties there sound to be incredible. And we pray your blessing upon aid agencies and all that will seek to meet the practical need on the ground there. We pray for the nation of Afghanistan, and we pray for your believing people in that place. And Heavenly Father, we're all of us conscious in listening to the news that COVID throughout Europe is on the rise again. The number of infections is increasing. Some countries have gone into another kind of lockdown, and we pray for them. We pray for our continent, and we ask, Lord, that you will just draw near to us at this time and use this occasion to awaken those of us, Lord, that need awakening to your presence and your availability through faith and through prayer. And so, Heavenly Father, as we continue in worship, we ask that your Spirit may anoint all that we bring, that you will be pleased, Lord, with what we bring. We pray for our brother Ian as he anticipates bringing the word, and we ask, Lord, that you will unstop our ears and give us a heightened sense of concentration as we listen to what you would say through our brother and through your word. So, Lord, continue with us. Forgive us our many sins. We look to the cross and to Jesus bearing the guilt and shame of human sin, and we ask, Lord, that we might be forgiven the foolish things that we've thought and said and done. And Heavenly Father, anoint us afresh with your Spirit, that we might go forth in your power and serve you better as a people. We ask it all in your name and for your glory's sake. Amen. Amen.
Your desire, that
sanctified by glory and fire.
Stats in the
Jesus has cast his grip on me, and his, and he is mine, but with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From flesh first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my testimony. The power of death given back, never pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of him, a man, never pluck me from his hand, till he returns, calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you all, and thank you for this gracious chance. As the reading said, we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 1, because of the strange break in the Bible. But Paul's letter to the Colossians was written about 62 AD, and although the opening of the letter includes Timothy, it is quite clear that Paul is the author of the letter, since the pronoun I is used throughout the letter, and it is agreed by most theological scholars that Timothy acted as secretary in the letter. The letter, as the name of the book suggests, is addressed to the saints and the faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. The Christian community there came into existence during the period of a vigorous missionary activity associated with Paul's Ephesian ministry. You can read this in your own time in Acts chapter 9 if you want more background. Paul was assisted by several co-workers through whom the churches were planted in the province of Asia. Among these were the congregations of the Lycus Valley in Asia Minor, now in Turkey, which include Colossae, Laodicea, and Hierapolis. These were the fruit of Epaphras' endeavours. He was a native of Colossae, who probably became a Christian during Paul's visit to Ephesus. The overall theme of the letter is about Christ as Lord over all creation, including the unseen realm, how Christ has secured redemption for his people, enabling us to participate with him in his death, resurrection, and fullness. At the end of the previous chapter, chapter 2, Paul is admonishing, that is, telling off the people of Colossae by reminding them that they died with Christ. He instructs them that there is no need to submit to the regulations such as do not handle, do not touch, and the like. So we start chapter 3 with a very encouraging paragraph. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This chapter to me follows on very nicely from last week's service. Leanne's baptism is a great illustration of this first verse. as Leanne was raised from the water, Kieran reminded us that this represented Christ rising and ascending to heaven. The author is not only reminding us of where our minds and hearts should be on Christ in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, he is also directing us for where we should look, not on earthly things, which, as the Apostle James reminds us, your wealth has rotted, moths have eaten your clothes, your gold and silver are corroded, but on Christ in heaven, who is eternal. Looking at verse 3, that for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For you died. Are you thinking to yourself, I don't think I'm dead, I'm sure I'm alive? This reminds me of a time I had to go to the GP many years ago. I was getting tested for my blood pressure, but they also wanted to test my reflexes at the same time. So they were tapping on my knee with a small hammer. Nothing happened, not a twitch, no movement. The doctor asked me, are you alive? To which I responded, well, you're the doctor, you tell me. Going back to verse 3, to understand this, we need to read this along with verse 4. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. We can understand this better in the terminology that people say music is her life or football is his life. But for us, people should hopefully say Christ is his or her life. We are dead to our old self, as Paul reminds us in his second letter to the Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone. The new is here. In these two verses, 3 and 4, we have a very brief description of Christian's true status. With Christ, he have died, risen, and will appear again in glory. And Paul alludes here to the second coming of Christ in glory. To let go of the old and become a new creation in Christ. I think this is an ideal opportunity. If you don't yet know Christ, make that commitment to him today. And if you want to do that, please see one of the church leaders at the end of this service. Paul then moves on to the next few verses on how we should live as Christians. We are to put to death sin, idolatry, and evil ways. There's no need for me to remind you of the list, for we heard it in the reading, and you may want to go through them again in your own time. This does not mean to put aside evil ways, but to forget them, to eradicate them, to make them extinct. God cannot accept any sin, even major or minor, whether we think it's a major sin like murder or a minor sin like, well, I'm going to borrow this pen from work, but I have no intentions of taking it back. All in God's sight is sin. But remember, God is holy and he is righteous. That is why we must die to ourselves and be born again. We also saw this demonstrated last Sunday through the baptism, being born up out of the water, being born again. That is why we must repent. We must confess, list our sins, our wrongdoings, and say we are sorry. Ask the Lord for forgiveness now for your sins before it's too late. For Paul tells us in his letter to the Thessalonians, now brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Coming back to our passage, we are told in verse 6, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things. Verse 8, I repeat, you must rid yourselves of all such things. You may be thinking that's easier said than done, or that's easy for me to say. Well, I can tell you it's just as hard for me as it is for any of you. However, this is why we need to read the word. We need to read the scripture. We need to read our Bibles every day. We need to pray every day. It's only by doing these things that we will have the strength to overcome, to battle our old self. As the Apostle Paul told the church in Ephesus, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. It is good practice to read Ephesians 6 and pray for the armor of God to be placed upon you often. Paul has been instructing us what we need to stop or to put to death in his words. In verses 12 to 14, he now instructs us on how to live. But the main point here is we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You have been chosen by God. I'm going to say that again. You, each of you, have been chosen by God. It's not as though when you were in school and you were all lined up and two people chosen and they'd go down the line and there'd be one or two left and, well, I'm going to have to choose you then. Oh gosh, flashbacks to the school days, that is. No, here you have been chosen by God from millions to choose from. Not a, well, I might as well take you, but God has decided, he has chosen to take you. You are special, or at least you should feel special. And if not, read this passage again this afternoon until that truth sinks in. You have been chosen by God. Christians know that we don't get a rite of passage into heaven, but by the mercy and grace of our Heavenly Father, and by us placing our faith and believing in our Lord Jesus Christ, that's how we get into heaven. That's what we see in very similar in these verses. God has shown us mercy, and boy, do we need it. But he has shown us mercy, so we should show others mercy. God has forgiven us, and we need to forgive others. However, that doesn't mean or need to say that we don't do any good deeds. Jesus did many a good deed, as you can read in the Gospels, and we should do likewise because Jesus is our example. As one unnamed commentator from the Bible Ref website states, Paul commends positive behaviors which Christians are to imitate. Among these are patience and humility, but the most important is love. Christian love is what allows imperfect, diverse people to be bound together as one virtual body. The Apostle Paul moves on to what many non-Christians and unfortunately even some Christians see as quite a controversial verse. Verse 18, wives, submit to your husbands. Verse 20, children, obey your parents, or they've all left. Verse 21, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. You may have noticed I left out one verse, verse 19. We're going to look at that right now. Some people get upset that the Bible says wives should submit to their husbands, but the next verse tells us, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. If we also look at Ephesians 5, which expands on this, it states, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Not only should the husband love his wife, and I'm sure all you husbands do, he also has to give himself up for her, giving up his life for his wife. The husband has to make himself a sacrifice, just as Jesus made himself a sacrifice for his bride, the church. Moving on to verse 20, children, obey your parents in everything. And this goes for adult children as well. Again, Paul expands on this in Ephesians 6, stating, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. When a child respects a parent's authority, they are representing or respecting God's order of authority in other areas of their life too. This idea of an order of authority and submission to an order of authority are so important to God that they are at the very part of his being. The first person of the Holy Trinity is called the Father, and the second part is called the Son. Inherent in those titles is a relationship of authority and submission to authority. The Father exercises authority over the Son, and the Son submits to the Father's authority. This is the very nature and being of God. Our failure to exercise biblical authority and our failure to submit to biblical authority isn't just wrong. It sins against the very nature of God. Verse 21, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. The ESV has this translation, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. I think it's a little bit of a better way of putting it, as it makes it a bit clearer to understand. A father should not be severe with his punishment, but should show kindness, discipline, and justice, and most importantly, love, just as our Heavenly Father does with each of us, for he is our example. Children need to feel the love and support of their parents. If parents were not to provoke their children, this in itself would encourage children and bring a greater harmony in the family. And we all know this is not the one answer to fix all family problems. But all of us, including parents, should encourage children, whether it be school or Sunday school teachers, whether it be grandparents, aunts or uncles, especially parents, but none of us should provoke children. Encourage them in the way of the Lord. Parents should try to be as gracious, gentle, forgiving, and long-suffering with their children as God is with each of us. And I know that can be a tall order sometimes. Verse 22, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. Is this relevant today? Well, yes, it is relevant today. You're an employee, a volunteer, or any such like, then this applies to you. Always do your best as if working directly for the Lord himself. As the one we should all obey is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 23 and 24 sum up this nicely. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. I'll repeat that last bit. It is the Lord Christ you are serving, whether free or slave, employed, retired, unemployed, whatever. At the end of the day, we all serve the Lord. I know I've covered a lot in that sermon, so to conclude, there are three points I want you to take home. Look upward, setting your heart and mind on Christ. The second point, remember you are God's chosen people. And lastly, remember it is the Lord that you are serving. Amen. Our last hymn today is Love Divine.
Divine, all loves ascending joy of heaven. But dwelling on thy faithful master's crown, Jesus, thou art pure art thou, dear love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breath. Let us all inherit, let us find thy promise rest. Take away the love of sin, since beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Serve thee as thou let us sing thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory to glory. Till we cast our clouds before me, lost in wonder of thy grace. Change from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, and wonder of thy praise.
Now, just before we finish, can I thank you, Ian, for bringing the words to us this morning? We appreciate it immensely. And can I remind you all that we're having a short fellowship lunch at the conclusion of next week's service of worship. And that will begin with our taking part together in the Lord's Supper. Do please feel able to come and sit yourself around one of the tables you find when you come in next week. And so may the grace, mercy, and peace of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each one of us, now and forevermore.